नैवापितं क्षियामानं जलं गादजले चरा यथायोरन्वहं क्षायं नदा मूधाकुतं विना.
The fish swimming in the increasingly shallow water did not at all understand that the water was diminishing. Just as foolish family men cannot see how the time they have left to life is diminishing with every passing day. Purport. After the rainy season, the water gradually goes down, but stupid fish do not understand this. Thus they are often stranded on the lake shores and riverbanks. Similarly, those infatuated with family life do not understand that the remainder of their life is constantly decreasing. Thus, they fail to perfect their Krishna consciousness and are stranded in the cycle of birth and death.
Gadavari charastapam avindam chararakajam yathadaridra kripana kutumbya vijitendriyaha.
Just as a miserly, poverty-stricken person overly absorbed in family life suffers because he cannot control his senses, the fish swimming in the shallow water had to suffer the heat of the autumn sun. Purport. Although, as described in the previous verse, unintelligent fish are not aware of the diminishing water, they may think that these fish are still happy. According to the old proverb, ignorance is bliss. But even the ignorant fish are scorched by the autumn sun. Similarly, although an attached family man may consider his ignorance of spiritual life blissful, he is constantly disturbed by the problems of family life, and indeed his uncontrolled senses lead him into a situation of unrelieved anguish.
Om Agyan Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jinatas Moi Sri Guru.
Fish swimming in the increasingly shallow water did not at all understand that the water was diminishing. Just as foolish family men cannot see how the time they have left to live is diminishing with every passing day.
The fish,
in its foolishness, in its stupidity, goes on with its life, not willing to accept the fact that the waters all around it are getting less and less and less. In a similar way, it is described here that a foolish family man is not willing to see, to admit, that the time that they have left to live is diminishing with every passing day. And yet, just as the fish out of foolishness makes no preparation or arrangement, tries to hide the fact within his own mind that he's coming closer and closer to death, and really there's nothing he can do about it. Atato brahma jigyasa. This most rare and valuable human form of life is meant only for self-realization. It is meant only for the purpose of elevating our consciousness closer to God and to the spiritual world. Prahlad Maharaj explains that those who are too much entrapped by trying to arrange nice facilities, security, and enjoyment within family life, they are like people in a deep, dark well. Because they are not willing to see the reality. Their lives are being wasted. For what? We are thinking that this is my mother, this is my father, this is my children, this is my wife, this is my husband, these are my brothers, these are my sisters. But according to the Shastra, it is said that in every birth you have wives and children and mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. But only in the rare human birth do you have the opportunity to have a spiritual master who can take you beyond these illusory bodily conceptions of life. But yet we consider these things to be all in all. We give them such incredible importance. It's like one of our devotees, Vaishnava Prabhu, during these riots and these communal violence. He's in the hospital, Cooper Hospital. And he was telling us yesterday that most of the Hindus that come in there, just battered, beaten, on the verge of death, when they're dying, he said he hasn't seen a one call out the name of God. Every one of them asks about their family members. Will their family members help them at the time of need? Will they find any security or shelter? Nothing. It's like a cry in the wilderness. What it means is their whole life has been wasted. At the end of the life, all they have left is their family attachment, and they cannot take any of those attachments with them. They've wasted their life. That's all. It's as simple as that. Why? Because although they're Hindus and they know, yes, if I chant the name of God at the time of death, then I will be elevated, but they cannot chant the name of God at the time of death. Because what you are most attached to in this life is what you will think of at the time of death. And because everything is based around their caste, their traditions, marrying their children, making a good living to leave behind a nice estate for my family, and working so hard and coming home at night and seeing my nice family all together, and people are just living for this for so many years. And if they're so obsessed, so entangled, and so attached by these conceptions, and when it comes to die, you think they could think of God? They simply think, where is my wife? Where is my children? Where is my mother? Where is my father? Where is my husband? Maya has cheated them. Maya has stolen away the most precious gift of the chance for self-realization. the Bhagavatam explains that family members are like fallible soldiers. And we become so attached to them, and we live for them. Even though, as we're getting older, the lakes are getting less and less with water. Our lives are diminishing. And we are meant to go closer and closer to God consciousness, to put more emphasis, more time, more everything in our spiritual life. This is the Varnashram system. The Varnashram system takes for granted that you will live for 100 years and divides life into four parts. First 25 years, that means the first one-fourth of your life should be dedicated exclusively to spiritual training, brahmachari. Today, people do not take seriously brahmachari ashram. They think brahmacharis are useless people. Why don't they get jobs? Why don't they get good educations? In a materialistic culture, this is what is considered. But in a spiritual culture, it is the essential beginning of one's life. For the first 25 years, you're not simply going to all crazy schools and colleges learning all academic information thinking, when I get an old man, I'll take to spiritual life. No, you're trained. And what is austerity? What is God consciousness? And then the next 25 years of your life, if you have no inclination to continue this brahmachari type of life, the next 25 years is meant to work hard and to develop and raise a family. That means you have to get a job. That means you have a nice wife. You have nice children. You have to maintain a home. But still, throughout your grihastha life, the principle of keeping God in the center is prominent. And austerity within grihastha life is the most important consideration. But considering you're going to live 100 years at the age of 50, nowadays we have to understand it's less than 50 because people don't live 100 years. All these ashrams have to be a little reduced in ages. By the age of 50, your children are supposed to be grown up. You'd be supposed to take to vanaprastha. That means you're retired from all of these worldly affairs. And that means you leave all the responsibilities to the children. You're detached. Whether they can do it or not do it, that is their business. That is between them and God. But my business must be finished. And the husband and the wife together, they simply dedicate all their time and energy to seva and to bhajan. Either they preach together, or they do sadhana together, or to go to a holy place together. But they know that their life is coming close to an end. Therefore, we must give our time and energy every moment. We should not waste it. There's not many left. Just like the fish sees, after the rainy season, the water's getting less and less and less and less, and soon there's going to be no water left. That means there's nothing. I cannot survive. So water is compared here to our time. The duration of our life is being diminished at every second. And considering you have 100 years, that means for the first 50, you could say you're going up, but then after 50, it is downhill all the way. Your body is becoming weaker. Your mind is becoming weaker. Your organs are becoming less functional. Your heart is becoming weaker. The signs of old age, the signs of death, they actually start coming when you're in your 30s.
Huh?
If you consider a person who lives 100 years, 70 of those 100 years, he just sees his body deteriorating. It's only for the first few years that he's growing and strong. When you start getting to your mid-30s, everyone has seen, all of a sudden your body just, it's not there anymore. Everything starts going down. Maintenance becomes so much more difficult. Overcoming diseases becomes such a laborious task. But by the age of 50, you're really going down. Therefore, the Shastras say, at that time, whatever the business is of your family and everything else, leave it. Good enough. You've done your duty. Now you only have one. Now when you cross this age, you have only one duty. Sanatana Dharma. Bhajan, Kirtan, Seva, Krishna consciousness. And then, that's for 25 years. Exclusive, complete absorption in one's spiritual life. And then when you become 75, that's considering that you're assured set 25 more years to live. At that time, you're supposed to detach yourself from everything and become sannyasi. So of the 100 years, 75 of those 100 years is detachment and only spirituality. And 25 is for economic development. And raising a family. That means, considering most people live till 80, so you can say 20. One fourth of your life is meant for economic development and developing family life. And the rest is meant for self-realization. But today, people want to hold on to the fag end of their life. They don't want to give up their responsibilities. They don't want to give up their attachments. They're thinking, how will the world go on without me? How will my family go on without me? Just like even great kings, we read in the Shastra, Yudhisthira Maharaj, Bharat Maharaj, Rishabhdev, when their children are old, when they just attain the age, King Dasarath, they put their child on the throne and they go to the forest. They leave the rest to Krishna. They don't say, I have to monitor and make sure. Huh? This is not Vedic culture. To some extent, you may have to according to time and circumstance, but this should not be our vision. But Srila Prabhupada, how much he condemned these politicians, old men who should be sannyasis doing bhajan, and they can't let go of their throne. Huh? Just like in Japan. The emperor of Japan recently, I don't know if he's dead yet, I don't follow the news, but the emperor, he was in his 90s, I think. And the youth was saying, let go, you demon, let us take over. Until I die, I'll choke you all by maintaining everything according to my power. Nothing could go on without me. How will it go? It's been going on with me for the last 50, 60 years. How will it go on without me? I will maintain it forever. And the youth, they were having revolutions. What was that square's name in China? This is in China. They were having Japan's the same principle, old people, but in China they were having massive revolutions. Get out, you old man, we don't want you anymore. He was sending the police, kill these young people, they want to take my position. The man's coughing mucus. His heart barely knows how to beat anymore, and he's trying to just maintain and hold on and squeeze to what he has attained in his life. He can't give it up. He's so attached. A few years ago, Ronald Reagan was president of America. How old was this man? He was in his 70s. And rather than retiring and going into spiritual life, he was just holding on, holding on, holding on, trying to be reelected, making all sorts of devices in his politics to make sure he's reelected again. Huh? The They can't give it up. They can't let go. And then when they finally have no choice but to let go of their power and their position, what do they do with their life? They just go off with their family somewhere, just wanting to enjoy sense gratification until the day they die. It is a fact. Material, and these are yagyaraksharati streshtas tad tad evetarojana sayad pramanam kurute lokastharanuvartate. What the great men, what the influential people in society do, the common men will follow. If the great kings and presidents are trying to hold on to the fag end of their life, to their political positions and their family attachments, what do you think this common people will do? They have no conception that the goal of life is for God consciousness. That is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in the Vedas, we find all the kings, as soon as they have a child old enough, they enthrone him and they go off to the forest. Because they know that unless the leaders do this, the whole society will be completely spiritually bankrupt. They will simply think material attachment and maintenance of family life is everything. Although family life is sacred and auspicious when it is centered around Krishna, still, the principle of family life is you remain very austere, detached, and God-centered in your family life so that when that time comes, you could retire from it. If you're not able to retire from it at the right time, that means you didn't do it right when you were... That means you were simply too much absorbed in sense gratification and material consciousness when it was there. It's preparation. Every stage of our life is a preparation for further detachment and God consciousness. That is the whole Vedic culture. This may sound revolutionary, but this is the basis of the whole Varnashram system in which the spirituality of India was based on. And people do not teach it. Prabhupada taught it. Bhaktisiddhanta taught it. Because they're simply presenting as it is. People don't like to teach these things anymore. Too radical. Especially here in India. Family is everything. But a God-centered family is a family that understands that it is all meant for the purpose of developing God consciousness. All these relationships. There's no other purpose of it. Everything else is the consciousness of what is called here fish. It's fish consciousness. Maintenance, comforts, relationships. And this is the test. This is the test of how much we've really understood what is spirituality. That when the right time comes, how are we willing to detach ourselves and attach ourselves to Krishna Seva? This is the revealing part of our life. It is not irresponsible, but it is the most important responsibility we have. After all, we see around us, especially these days, nobody knows how much longer they will have to live. But there are certain natural signs which are warning us. You may die today or tomorrow, no doubt. But even if everything goes your way, you don't have much time to go. Just like stoplights in the traffic lanes. According to the Vedic culture, when you reach the age 50, the yellow light goes on. Huh? That means warning, it is about to turn red. Red means death. It's going to turn red very soon, so prepare yourself.
That's if everything goes your way, the best. But in this world, there are so many reckless drivers that even when it's green, somebody could run into you and you can get in an accident and die. Correct? But suppose everything goes your way. The yellow light means you're about to die. It's coming soon. Prepare yourself.
So Lord Sri Krishna Chaturvarna Mayastrasdam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. He has arranged it in this way. Srila Prabhupada tells the example of one very, very, very wealthy man. And he was on his deathbed. And he called a doctor. And he said, "Doctor, I will give you a massive portion of my wealth, practically all of it, if you can just prolong my life one more year. Because my children, they're not ready for me to leave yet. I have so many loose ends to tie up before I leave this world. Just give me one more year to tie up these loose ends, and then I could leave, knowing that I have done my responsibilities." And the doctor told him that, "I cannot even give you one more second. It is not within my power. For all the money you have, you cannot buy one more second. It is your destined time to die." And the man died. And what was he thinking of when he died? "What will happen to my children? What will happen to my grandchildren? What will happen to my estate?" Huh? And what was his next birth? Nobody knows. Oftentimes people take ghostly existences in their previous estates when they become so much attached. Human life wasted. But this is so much the story of life. We become so much infatuated, so much intoxicated, so much immersed and entangled that Maya never wants to let us go. There's always one more thing to tie up before you can get away. But as you're trying to tie it up, Maya ties you up. That is her nature. Every step you try to disentangle yourself on the level of Maya, she entangles you more. One more thing, one more thing, one more thing, one more thing, one more thing. The seconds, the moments, the hours, the days, the weeks, the months, the years, the decades, they're all just being stripped away from you. And still, one more thing. That is Maya's nature. Therefore, the Shastras are constantly warning us, no, just put Krishna first, just have faith. Krishna's in control. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the eternal security for the soul, and there's no other. And the greatest security we could give to our family is by our example to teach them that we have complete faith in Krishna. That this is your only real security, your Krishna consciousness. Here is everything. Now it's yours. But of everything I'm giving you, the example of my Krishna consciousness is the most invaluable. The money, the estate, everything else, that's not very important. But I'm giving you an example of what it means to surrender to Krishna. That is the real wealth I'm leaving behind. Ah. This is what Vedic culture is teaching us. This is what all the great acharyas have recommended. And we find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for the sake of humanity, at 24 years he gave it all up. Who was going to take care of his old, widowed mother and his young 16-year-old wife?
He understood it's the time I must go. It will be. Krishna will do. Huh? No doubt. And this is his example to all of us. That our first sacred duty in life is self-realization, is spreading Krishna consciousness throughout the world. This is the greatest need. And this is our duty. And time is running out. Ayur harati vai pungsang udyan astam shayan asau tasya date yakshano nitta utama shloka bharataya. With every rising and setting of the sun, we are one day closer to death. And the older we become, the faster the days go by. We can't even understand how fast the days and the weeks and the months and the years go by. You see, things go faster downhill than uphill. Huh? This is a psychological conception. When you're young, things seem to take so long. You know, the end in June or in April, whatever it is here, then I have my school vacations. And you're just counting the days, and it seems so long from the beginning of the school year till the end, till you get vacations. You're just waiting for that day. Things go, when I grow up. But as you get older, your life is going more downhill, and it just, and the more momentum downhill, the more it just goes so fast, you don't know what's happening. Where are the weeks? Where are the years? It seems like yesterday. It's vanishing. Our life is vanishing right before our eyes. The stability of this physical condition, this body, is just disappearing right before our eyes. How precious it is to grasp on to every moment and offer it to Krishna. Just take every moment and offer it to Krishna. Griheshu grihamedinam. The Bhagavatam explains that although family life is so sacred, and it's so important, especially here in India, it's the all-in-all of everything. But the Bhagavatam and all the Shastras constantly warn us. It's the greatest entanglement. It's the greatest spiritual obstacle. If the responsibilities are not executed with very careful guidance. Because we become so entangled. So enmeshed. So unwilling to let go. And these warnings are there, so strong. Not that family life is not sacred. It is as sacred as the sannyas, the brahmacharya, or the vanaprastha order. They are all sacred. But only if they are performed in proper perspective, not becoming entangled, not becoming too much attached. We read in the Srimad Bhagavatam about Dhritarashtra. Vidura came to tell him, what kind of a crazy nonsense you are? Just get out of here. Go to the forest. Chant Hare Krishna. Huh? Look at your condition. You're still trying to live like this? But we are all like Dhritarashtras. So therefore, this is a beautiful, beautiful verse from the Bhagavatam. The fish swimming in the increasingly shallow water did not at all understand that the water was diminishing, just as foolish family men cannot see how the time they have left to live is diminishing with every passing day. Are there any questions? Yes, they have problems.
Maharaj, sometimes in the course of our preaching, we come across people of the retiring age who express some desire for dedicating more time to spiritual life. They want to retire and take up an active life of spiritual endeavor. So what kind of vanaprastha do we recommend for them? What is the practical application of vanaprastha life in the cities? Because so long as they're, even if they retire from their jobs or their businesses, so long as they're with their families physically, there is so much of distraction and they're pulled back into their endeavor, into their earlier endeavors in no time at all. So how do we preach to such people, and what kind of vanaprastha should they take up?
We must understand, according to Kala Deshapatra, the time, the place, the people, things must be adjusted according to what the Vedas prescribed. In previous times, we read in Bhagavatam, they would simply just go into the jungles at the age of 50 or whatever, at that time where three-fourths of life or half of life has been diminished at that time. Vanaprastha begins when, according to the timetable, half your life is complete. Huh? So, obviously today people cannot just go into the jungles. First of all, there's practically no jungles anymore. Jungles are practically all agricultural fields and cities and villages. And second of all, the human body does not have the power to sustain itself like in previous ages to perform such tapasya, living in tree bark, eating only roots and bulbs, and living in the forests. Who can do that? In Kali Yuga, especially as time goes by, we become very soft, and we will die if we try to do that, most of us. So therefore, the principle is that you should, at that time, begin preparing yourself more and more to full-time devotional service. Either going to a holy place or just completely dedicating yourself to Guru's mission. Like that. So at that time, the best thing is by preparing, by just less and less responsibilities of this world, of the family. Generally, just like in Bombay, there's a store in Bombay, and one Indian man owns it. He's a very good friend of mine. This poor man, he's in his late 70s. He's actually somewhat spiritual. And he wants to just retire and go to a place like Ayodhya or Vrindavan and just do bhajan. But his sons are so heavy, they will not allow him to go because they see him as an asset to their business. Because he started the business, he has all the contacts, he has all the connections. He had the vision. He has three sons. They're in their 40s. They're in the 30s and 40s. And they treat him like a slave. They make him work full-time every day because they're afraid if he leaves, they're going to have to do more. Huh? He's already doing so much. He has so many contacts. He has so many connections. The poor man sometimes cries. He weeps to me. He says, "My children." I said, "Why don't you come to New Vrindavan? It's in Pittsburgh. It's only 1.5 hours. He says, "I can't get away." I said, "Just come to visit. See the deities." He said, "I can't get away. My children will not allow." He has to maintain so much. They're out making more contacts. But whatever, he has to maintain what's there. Fallible soldiers. Actually, Sukadeva Goswami explains that family members are like thieves. They're just stealing your blood, your life's blood away from you. And you're just thinking, "Oh, they are so nice." You know that verse? You could really see it in this instance. His children, just so much pressure. They make him feel so guilty that if you leave, you will ruin the business, you will destroy the family, you will do everything. And he's, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." He can't cut it. They won't let him cut it.
They are his worst enemies. So much affections and everything.
So therefore, the first principle is, we must just really make a concerted effort to detach ourselves from all worldly affairs and have a completely spiritual relationship with our family. Huh? That comes later. In Vanaprastha stage, physical separation is not essential. But the separation, because after all, you're with your wife. They could go separately somewhere else, but even if they're in their home, they should be separated from the obligations of the home. They should be simply spirituality. And then ideally, they should accept that place, that residence, where they can give their whole life to devotional service, to serving their guru's mission, to performing the tapasya of just devotional service, helping with preaching, helping with seva, doing more bhajan. Practically, within a city like Bombay, the best form of vanaprast for most is to simply, even if one remains at home, to just from the home just completely retire from all the family responsibilities and engage in preaching Krishna consciousness and doing bhajan and sadhana. And when we have place in Rishikesh, when we have place in Vrindavan, people should spend more and more and more and more and more time. Practically speaking, a person may not be able to just cut everything immediately, but they should be really, really working very concentratedly toward this. And they should know that there's never going to be a time when Krishna is going to say, oh yes, everything is just perfectly wound up nicely, now you go. Maya will never allow that. You have to just say, just have faith in Krishna and say, all right, this, I'm going to be doing my puja. You do this. But we can't do it. No, no, we'll never be, we can't do it. You have to at least stay around a few more years. The thing doing, it's yours. Huh? Because we, year after year after year after year after year after year, nobody wants to let go of an asset. Huh? Even your own loved ones. They don't want to let go. We have to let go. We have to cut it. Gradually we have to cut it. That is spiritual culture. But factually it's very difficult to cut it unless somebody's helping us. That is why we need the association of people who are in the renounced order. They help us to get over that obstacle, that barrier that's keeping us entangled, keeping us under the illusion that I am the doer and I am the controller, and how will it go on without me? Huh?
So in other words, there is never going to be a time when the decision will not be painful. At whatever stage of life, it is going to be a painful decision, but one must...
To the degree you're attached, it's painful. To the degree you're detached, it's not very painful. We can understand how much we're attached by how painful it is. But actually, you're doing the best thing for everyone. That's your service to your family. To give that example. To maintain a spiritual tradition by which they can also follow. Should not be done irresponsibly. It should be done responsibly. But this is responsible. People are so much thinking in terms of material responsibility that they totally neglect their spiritual responsibilities. But this is the responsibility.
I just recall one incident where a former Prime Minister of India, Gulzarilal Nanda, he was speaking to Prabhupada. And at that time, Nanda must have been in his 70s or some, or late 60s. And Prabhupada told him, finally after some discussion, he told him, now is the time you must take sannyas. And then he described how he was shell-shocked at the whole idea. He was just, he withdrew immediately. So he wasn't Prime Minister at that time, but was so much attached to his other welfare work. But the very idea of him retiring from life was so difficult for him to stomach. He just was shell-shocked. He couldn't stomach the idea.
But Prabhupada showed by his example. He was a grihastha. He was a servant of his guru's mission. But a certain time in his life, he just, okay, this is it. It's all yours. You just left. Children, ready or not, I'm going. Wife, ready or not. And what did he do? Just served his guru. And look at such an example he set. Some of his children are still angry with him to this day. But look what he did for the world. One man who was willing to... So when Prabhupada spoke, Prabhupada would be so often condemning people for this attachment. Can go. But he's set by his example of what a man can do if he lets go and holds on to Krishna. Even Gandhi. Gandhi was so influential. Prabhupada told him, you're an older man now. Why are you still involved in all this nonsense politics? Huh? Why are you so involved in all this nonsense welfare politics? He was maintaining the whole political entourage here in India with all kinds of plans. And he was the leader. And my God, his ministers did not want him to go. They needed him. He was the focal point. Huh? But Prabhupada said, you're an old man. This is not the time to be involved in politics. You're going to die any day. Preach Bhagavad Gita. Don't say anything about all this politics. Just preach the Gita. Get away from all this. But his aides would not let him go, and he was considering, how can I give up this political movement of mine? How will it go on without me? He was not willing to extract himself. So he was extracted ultimately by force. And Prabhupada felt so bad. Prabhupada felt so bad. He was thinking so much he can do for the spirituality of India if he just gives up politics. But unfortunately, his example is the example of the father of the nation. All respect to what he's done, but still we have to speak what our Guru Maharaj taught us. He is the highest principle of example for the whole country of India to the society, is he not? Everyone says to be like Gandhi, that is the supreme. A person who is so much attached to his family and his national political position that he couldn't give it up to the time of his death. And this is the example that is the highest, most pristine position for everyone to follow. Gandhiji's put in such a light of the father of India. We don't see Prabhupada as the father of India. He gave it up. We don't see Ramanujacharya or Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati or any of these people as the father of India. Well, they gave it up. They did their proper duty. We see a man as pious and as noble as he was and as honest and as courageous as he was. He couldn't let go. He couldn't let go of that attachment to give to Krishna. Although such great acharyas as Prabhupada were begging him to do it. What great men do, common men follow. So therefore, what is the conclusion? That with such an idol as this, India is simply a group of a nation of family attachment and nationalism. Right? But unfortunately, they don't have the piety and the austerity of Gandhi, but they maintain the
the negative principles. They don't accept the higher principles. Family attachment and nationalism to the day you die. Huh? That is condition. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada was so strong on this point, incredibly strong on this point. He understood its essential value. Does that answer your question? Yes?
Maharaj, just as we say that in grasp life or in a family life, we don't know how the time is passing by. And whatever the time we have it, in that time also, we also do some unproductive and something which is not at all creative to spiritual life. That means in a family life, we most of the time, because we wanted to be in the society, we have to attend many of the marriages, birthday parties, social functions, with whom there is no spiritual life, nothing of that sort with them. And we have to be associating with all those karmi people as such. So what do you, and it's a completely distraction for us to be with them. So what do you say, that should we attend those marriages and these parties and all these social functions, or should we not attend? Because it's a completely distraction for our spiritual life.
during that interim period of Grihastha Ashram, to make ends meet, you may have to do like that. Socially, just to survive properly in business, in society, you may have to attend such things. But we should have such a strong social affiliation with the Vaishnavas that when we do attend these things out of certain social obligations, because that's they're all, as a grihastha, you do have social obligations. You should have such strong Vaishnava satsang that when you do go to those places, you just do it as an obligation and go. Huh? You're not entangled. You're not enjoying. You're not in the spirit of everyone else there. If I can get out of it, I'll get out of it. If I cannot get out of it, I have such good satsang with the Vaishnavas that I'm not interested in this. I just do my duty and go. But we should try to keep our social life more and more with people who will reinforce our spiritual convictions, and less with people who are simply trying to enjoy the material world. But from time to time, you may have to. It is like a business responsibility, huh? What to do?
There used to be some social functions among the devotees also. But when
yesterday was Tatva's birthday, we celebrated nicely.
But there we keep Krishna into center, but.
What?
There are some social functions amongst the devotees also, some marriage functions or some birthday parties or something, and because we are a grasta, we have been called over there. And when we go there, the Krishna is not into center actually. There is something else into center.
Amongst devotees.
Yeah. They don't keep Krishna into center. There's only as a devotees, but there is no kirtan or there is nothing of that sort, but just a social function. So should we attend that function or should we not attend it?
If you attend, you should give your blessings. You should go to give your blessings. May Krishna be in the center. May you come out of this maya. Huh? Oh, you must, for devotees, Krishna's in the center. Maybe in their hearts. But when many devotees are there, everyone's thinking of Krishna. Although for the sake of parents and everything, it may be doing this way or that way. Devotees should try as far as possible to make everything with Krishna in the center. But the spirit of keeping Krishna in the center must be there. Huh? So you have to think, how can I best serve? If I can best serve and develop my devotional service and develop unity amongst Vaishnavas,
by attending I should go? If I'm going to offend a Vaishnava by not going, you should go? You should just go and have your bead bag on and just chant Hare Krishna. Huh? And if it's a karmi thing, you have to understand, how can I best serve? If by going I can help make these people Krishna conscious, if I can do some preaching, or if by social obligation my business will prosper and I can do more seva to Krishna, then go. But don't get entangled. Just go as a servant of your Gurudev. But brahmacharis, they should not go. They should do their puja. Huh? So we have to be practical and realistic. It's not cut and dry that at this age, this age, but the spirit must be there. Because in Kali Yuga, things are already mixed up. We can't just 50 years, wife, put on your tree bark. We're going to the forest. It's your 50th birthday. Your birthday present is, here's a tree bark, sari. Happy birthday to you. And today we're going to the forest, to the jungle, to live with the serpents and the monkeys. Huh? You can't do that these days. But the spirit of detaching ourselves and putting more and more and more of our energy into Krishna consciousness, that should be there. That spirit must be there. Thank you very much. Hari Bol.